Unless you're rich like Donald Trump or win the Powerball jackpot, you're likely to have limited means when you retire. Your federal annuity, a bit of Social Security, what you've saved up in the TSP, but the other piece of retirement is what you spend, and you can't maintain a champagne lifestyle on a Natty Bo budget. Retirement and benefits expert Tammy Flanagan joins me now with more on that moving retirement target. Tammy, it's always great to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
The spending levels that people often don't analyze, that's the subject of something you've written about recently. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, just this week, a new report came out from the General Accountability Office that was ordered by Congress to talk about and study income replacement needs, because I think a lot of people, we read this in magazines and we hear it from sometimes from financial advisors, that the target is to replace 80% of our income to have a comfortable retirement. And this study was trying to show that that's not always going to be the case. It really depends on not how much income you need to replace, but how much income you're going to spend when you retire.
So that means that retirement planning is a two-sided equation. That is, you've really got to plan your lifestyle, because if you eat out every night and do have steak and champagne weekly, like if, you know, you're Kim Il-jung, you know, in North Korea, who eats very well, you may not be able to do that come that first day of retirement.
That's right. Yeah. So some people are, you know, just naturally homebodies. They want to have a very, set down lifestyle where they're not going to be out traveling the world. But yet other retirees do have these ideas that they're going to have this grand lifestyle in retirement. And either one could be possible, but you have to plan for it. You have to understand, you know, what those needs are going to be in retirement. Are you still going to have children at home? You know, we have some people who start their families later in life, so they're going to have different needs than those who don't have children at home. So you really need to think about, as you said, both sides of the equation, both what you're earning now and what you're spending while you're working 50 or 40 hours a week, but then also what you're going to be spending when you have, you know, 150 hours a week to spend that money. So I think this is an important study to help people think about that, and also to help agencies and employers instruct their employees of how to prepare for retirement a little bit more accurately.
So maybe you might have to take up an ant farm instead of traveling to the capitals of Europe every month.
That's right.
You work with people a lot in retirement, and I imagine it's a big psychological piece to start to say to yourself, well, you know, we've got to plan what we're going to spend a little bit more carefully, and some things you might have to give the heave-ho to, or at least the frequency of them.
What I've found with federal employees who are planning to retire, that in many cases, not always, but in many cases, they're better off than what they really imagine. I think some are very fearful of not having enough to fund their retirement lifestyle, but when they really sit down and look at all three parts of their retirement, that they're actually better off than what they think. Because sometimes we focus on just that basic pension benefit, but in fact, federal employees in many cases have a pretty substantial Social Security record, as well as significant savings in their thrift savings plan. And all three of those are sources of retirement income that can replace a good part of your pre-retirement salary.
Now, people outside of the TSP, that is normal citizens, mm-hmm. that are required to withdraw from their IRAs at 70 and a half. Is that true of the TSP also?
It is, yeah. Just about any retirement savings plan that the government allows us to have, it has some tax advantages, but the government also wants to get the tax revenues from those savings at some point. So whether it's a TSP or a 401k or an IRA, there's going to come a time in your life, if you live long enough, that you have to start withdrawing that money to pay the tax on it. Now, if you're fortunate and you don't need to spend it, you can certainly reinvest it after you pay the tax on it, but you do have to start paying that income tax at some point, or else your heirs will pay it for you.
Because these days, 70 and a half is not really very old for most people.
That's right. Hopefully, we still have another 30 years to go, right? So when you're 70 and a half and retired, because sometimes you're still working, you're still fully employed at 70 and a half. So if you're still working, you can still contribute to your employer retirement plans. But once you're retired and over 70 and a half, you have to start taking what's called a required minimum distribution, which is not a huge chunk of it. So in fact, that money can still last as long as you do, but you do have to start taking a minimum amount out and, again, like I said, pay the tax on it.
We're speaking with Tammy Flanagan. She's Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning. What's a good framework? What's a good way for people to approach planning?
The needs are different if you're single versus if you're part of a married couple, because in a married couple, you may actually have two sources of income, or you may have the primary breadwinner. So you do have to think about the financial planning. But a good starting place for anybody is to understand those basic benefits that are much easier to estimate and to project. That would be your Social Security benefit, your FERS or CSRS retirement benefit. Those are pretty concrete. We call those defined benefits. They're based on your salary, your length of service. Those are pretty easy to predict how much they're going to be worth. The harder part is to add in the savings. How much income can you generate from your savings? How should you be invested? How do you diversify? So I think where the knowledge and the understanding is lacking, where we need more education, is understanding investing for retirement. And I think that's where people feel the least amount of confidence from what I've seen.
I guess ideally you would want the income generated by your retirement savings to exceed the minimum withdrawal that you have to make at 70 and a half.
Die penniless, right? Everybody wants to spend their last dime. But yeah, so you have to be conservative in the fact that you don't want to take out too much too early. You know, sometimes I'll meet employees who are going to take an early retirement, let's say at age 50, and they want to start using their retirement savings in, you know, generous payments. And you have to be careful because you don't want to run out of money too early, because no one wants to have to go back into full-time employment when they're 75.
Especially if you haven't been working for 25 years, who's going to want you?
That's right. It's an interesting study because it's almost like fitting together the pieces of a puzzle when you have different moving parts that create that total retirement income.
And of course, healthcare expenses are maybe an even bigger unknown than what your withdrawals will be from your IRA,
right,
or your TSP.
The study that the GAO did, they looked at that and they said that is one of the expenses, and I think most of us know this, that that's one of the expenses on average that are going to increase as we get older. You know, older folks might need to fill more prescriptions. They might need long-term care or more assistance. So those are things also that we need to plan for, whether it's long-term care insurance or rearranging our life insurance or health benefits to fit our needs as we get older. So we do need to kind of readjust not only our retirement outlook, but also our health care needs, because those can also take up a lot of that retirement income.
Are there any ratios or rules of thumb for any of these figures that come into play here?
Well, like I said, you know, you could use that 80% as a kind of a rule of thumb to say it would be great if I could replace 80% of my pre-retirement income, which would give me about the same net income. But that's only going to be true if my spending's going to stay the same. So if I'm going to spend less, I'm going to downsize my house, I'm not going to have these grandiose travel plans, then I may not need to replace that much. Or on the other hand, if I'm going to be spending more money because I have these tours planned and I have grandchildren that I want to lavish with gifts, then I may need to have more income in retirement. So you really need to think individually about what realistically your plans are for your retirement years.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director for the National Institute of Transition Planning. As always, thanks so much for that wisdom.
Thank you, Tom.
Read her report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.